Hear the word of God. Reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. The parable of the bags of gold. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who'd received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who'd received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who'd received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who'd received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put the money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What strikes you as odd about this parable? A man goes away, leaving his servants in charge of different portions of his wealth. 2 of the servants make investments and double their money, and the 3rd one hides his talent, buries it in the ground until his master's return. And when the master does return, he's cast out as a wicked and lazy servant. While somewhere off in the distance, you can hear Billie Holiday singing, them that's got shall have, them that's not shall lose. God bless the child that's got his own. So what strikes you as odd about this story? Well, let's first figure out what the parable is about and why Jesus is telling the story. This is one of the 3 final parables that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 25. As soon as he finishes speaking and telling these stories, the religious leaders in Jerusalem immediately begin to put together a plan to have him killed. So what on earth was so offensive about these stories that they wanted to kill him? Well, N.T. Wright explains. He says that the master in the story is not Jesus going away until the second coming, but rather it is God who entrusts the message of his kingdom into the hands of the Jewish leaders long ago. The servants, then, are not the disciples waiting for Jesus' return, but rather the scribes and the Pharisees who have been entrusted until now with the message of God's kingdom. He writes, the scribes and Pharisees had been given the law of Moses. They had been given the temple, the sign of God's presence among them. They had been given wonderful promises about how God would bless not only Israel, but through Israel, the whole world. And they had buried them in the ground. They had turned the command to be the light of the world into an encouragement to keep the light for themselves. They had been worthless slaves. And now, when their master was at last coming back, he was going to call them to account. So the talents in this reading are then to be equated with the kingdom of God, or the message of the kingdom. And this is good news for all people. But the Pharisees had bound it up and as a closed gift for only the few. And they, the Pharisees and religious leaders, held the moral keys to dispense the gift to those few. But still, there's something odd about this parable. Have you noticed it yet? Two guys go off with different capital amounts to invest. Apparently, they do so independently, so we can presume that they did so in two different investment portfolios, and yet they both come back having doubled their money. Well, maybe it's just because I have a background in accountancy and finance, but that seems pretty suspicious to me. You see, the market can be a cruel place. Many more fortunes are lost than are made. And even prudent, knowledgeable investors risk losing it all. So how is it that these two investors both came back independently, having struck it rich? There must be something else at play. Maybe the entire market was booming at the time, or maybe the commodity they were investing in was a dead cert. It was bound to make money. For whatever reason, it seems they just could not lose on their investments. Well, of course, this is just a story, and Jesus isn't talking about the stock market here. The commodity at stake here is not money, but the good news of the kingdom. And Jesus' assumption is that the kingdom grows. Jesus says elsewhere in Matthew's gospel that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that grows into a great bush where all the animals, all the birds can find a place to nest. Or that it's like a tiny bit of yeast put into a big batch of dough and it works through the whole batch and causes the whole batch to rise. In other words, the kingdom of God gets in everywhere and takes over everything. And Jesus wasn't the first person to realize this inevitability of the growth of God's kingdom. Isaiah, the Hebrew prophet, hundreds of years before, put these words in the mouth of God in chapter 55 of his prophecy. He writes, "It is the same with my word, says the Lord. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." You see, the point is that we can't look at the third servant in this parable with pity. He wasn't just an unlucky schmuck who happened to end up on the bottom of the pile. We can't sympathize and say, "Ah, well, if the others had lost all their money, he would have turned out to be the hero." Profit from the investment, in this case, was a certainty, and he should have known it. Remember, he says to his master at one point, "Master, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed." Stanley Hauerwas puts it this way: "The one who received the one talent feared the giver. He did so because he assumed that the giver had given a gift that could only be lost or used up. So the slave with the one talent feared losing what he had been given, with the result that he tried to turn the gift into a possession." In contrast, the first two slaves recognized that to try to secure the gift they had been given means that the gift would be lost. seems to me that there's a lot of fear in the church today. We've been entrusted with these precious, precious gifts, buildings that are hundreds of years old, investments that have been built up over generations, an institutional structure that goes back all the way to the Reformation, traditions that have aye been, and memories that stretch back a lifetime. Let's bury them here. Let's preserve them unchanged. Let's hold on to them until our Lord returns. How pleased he will be with us when he returns and sees that we've been so careful. But will he? Will he be pleased? Remember that the precious memories we have were not made on the days when we simply repeated doing what we'd always done, but on the days when we tried something new. And that every honored tradition we have started out as an innovation which was so good that we said, we need to do this again. So what if we were to trust the market? To trust that the investment of God's kingdom always brings a return? What if we were to risk making new memories and establishing new traditions? We have a new generation on our doorstep and new neighbors living next door. Let's make some new memories with them. We have new technology at our fingertips and a new social setting that has been thrust upon us by the COVID pandemic. Let's try out new things that might be so good we decide to do them again until they become traditions. In other words, let's think big. Let's risk big. Let's go big or go home. The Italian writer Natalia Ginzburg wrote about instructing children in the great virtues. I think her words apply equally to children of any age. She writes, "As far as the education of children is concerned, I think they should be taught not the little virtues, but the great ones. Not thrift, but generosity and an indifference to money. Not caution, but courage and a contempt for danger. Not shrewdness, but frankness and a love of truth. Not tact, but a love for one's neighbor and self-denial. Not a desire for success, but a desire to be and to know. Let's risk big and trust that God's kingdom will grow. Amen."